This is episode 109 of Social Entrepreneur with Clara Brenner of the Urban Innovation Fund.
We're looking for the best, most scalable ideas wherever they come from, and we want to be there to provide them with the capital and regulatory expertise to succeed.
Welcome to the Social Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former business executive with Fortune 500 companies. Today, I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, we bring you exciting stories from the world of social entrepreneurs, benefit corporations, and impact investing. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to episode 109 of Social Entrepreneur with Clara Brenner of the Urban Innovation Fund and of Tummel. She co-founded and still is involved with two different organizations. So here's the big challenge. More than half of the world's population now lives in urban centers. So globally, there's more than 500 cities that have at least 1 million inhabitants. So with all of this urbanization come particular challenges, so transportation, public health, infrastructure, etc. And to meet these challenges, entrepreneurs need a unique blend of business savvy and political savvy. They have to understand how to navigate the regulatory environment as well as the business environment. So Clara Brenner and her co-founder, Julie Lean, are dedicated to solving core urban problems. Together, they founded both the Urban Innovation Fund and Tummel. So Tummel is an accelerator. They work with companies who have ideas to solve urban problems. And they've had 33 companies come through. Those 33 companies have raised over $35 million in investments. They've created more than 300 jobs. They've touched 2.2 million people's lives. I mean, this is really exciting. And what they saw was when people came through their accelerator program, then those same founders were looking for investment. And sometimes those investments just weren't there, especially in this urban space. So then they created the Urban Innovation Fund. So between these two, they're really creating an ecosystem that supports urban innovation. So that's the key word today I want you to think about is urban innovation. And here she is, Clara Brenner of the Urban Innovation Fund.
Hi, my name is Clara Brenner, and I'm a general partner and co-founder with the Urban Innovation Fund, and I'm co-founder at Tummel.
So you have two organizations. What, you didn't have enough going on already at Tummel? You had to start another organization? Is that what happened?
Well, Julie, my co-founder at both Tummel and the Urban Innovation Fund, she and I are really committed to helping entrepreneurs that are solving core urban problems. And so we first launched Tummel, you know, really with the goal of helping new entrepreneurs launch their businesses, get off the ground, and start thinking about how they can solve urban problems. But we really recognized that there was still a gap in the market for early stage capital, you know, much larger amounts of capital for these entrepreneurs. You know, once you've proven out your business model, once you've proven out that there's a real there, where do you go next for money? And, you know, for us, we're really passionate about this space, and we wanted to be able to help those entrepreneurs through that process as well. And so we see the fund and the nonprofit, Tummel, as really complementary in terms of their efforts.
Mm-hmm. So for Tummel, what caused you to start Tummel? What was the thing for you that you said, wow, we need Tummel in the world?
Sure. So Julie and I met when we were at business school, and we really came together around our love for startups that were solving city problems. So Julie used to work for a company called Revolution Foods, which is based out here in Oakland, and they provide healthy school meals. They've grown tremendously over the last few years, and they're in school districts across the country. We just loved this company. We felt like it was solving a really core community challenge, and at the same time was scaling in a way that traditional community organizations don't tend to do. And I had a really similar experience at a startup called Fundrise, which is based in Washington, D.C. And Fundrise basically crowdfunds dollars from the community to invest in institutional real estate within that community. They actually launched an e-REIT recently, which is pretty exciting. And, you know, they went on to raise about $50 million in funding. And, you know, similarly, this was a highly scalable company that was addressing a really core city-related challenge. And frankly, Julie and I were just wondering why all of our awesome, you know, engaged and thoughtful peers were electing to start the, you know, 5,000th photo sharing app instead of, say, the next Revolution Foods. So we ended up doing a lot of research while we were in school to kind of figure out, you know, what these companies had in common and what were the challenges that were preventing entrepreneurs from being successful in this space. And, you know, this was around the same time that Lyft was just getting off the ground and Airbnb. And, you know, we felt like all of these companies had something in common. We sort of developed the moniker Urban Innovation Startup. And the research, I won't bore you with, but basically the challenges come down to two things. The first is access to early stage capital. So, a lot of these entrepreneurs have a physical component to what they do. So if you're Revolution Foods, you have a physical culinary center where you're preparing those meals. You know, if you're a bike share, you have a fleet of bikes. Or oftentimes these companies are in a sharing economy, new economy type space, in which case more institutional investors really want to see that these companies have a lot of traction before they're going to take a risk on them. So it's really hard to get that early stage capital oftentimes if you're working on an urban problem. So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two is that these entrepreneurs oftentimes face pretty significant regulatory or political challenges as they look to get off the ground and certainly as they look to scale. So, you know, Revolution Foods is selling into highly regulated school districts. If you're a bike share, you know, need to get public space permits. If you're in the ride sharing space, there's, you know, very well documented challenges there. You know, we really felt strongly that there would be some value to basically building a portfolio of investments of these types of companies to be able to show the world that you really can invest in a thoughtful way in companies that are really focused on doing good things for the community, but that there is also, you know, real value from a profitability standpoint. So we went to a number of foundations, including the Blackstone Charitable Foundation, and basically said, you know, help us create this showcase portfolio to you know, to educate other investors about, you know, the value of doing, you know, investing in good. And so that's what we did. We launched Tummel about 3 years ago. And we have been funding and mentoring and providing office space towards early stage companies in the space. These are companies like Chariot, which is a commuter shuttle that crowdsources its routes from the community. HandUp, which is a mobile donation platform for the homeless, basically allowing regular citizens to support their neighbors in need by crowdfunding towards useful items like housing, medical expenses, dentures, you get the idea. Or Valor Water Analytics, which is basically a big data solution for water utilities. It provides basically a suite of business intelligence tools to help them better address issues like conservation, drought planning, you know, affordability, rate increases, things like that. So we've been really pleased with that. We've supported 33 companies through Tummel. And what we found is these companies are just doing really well. They've leveraged our capital 53x. They've gone on to raise quite a bit of money. They've created hundreds of community jobs. They've built products and services that have touched the lives of 2.2 million people. And interestingly, we don't actively select for any demographic factors, but 76% of the companies that we've supported have a woman or person of color on the founding team, which we're really proud of because that's very unusual in the investment world. And basically what we found was that many of our early supporters said, you know, we want to be driving more money towards these companies. Like, you've convinced us, you know, we want to be investing in these companies. How do we do it? And unfortunately, there really wasn't a vehicle available to these investors to do that. So we launched a separate vehicle called the Urban Innovation Fund, which basically allows investors to invest much more substantial amounts of money into, you know, similarly, entrepreneurs solving urban problems.
So first of all, let me just say, wow. That's really cool. And we've had some folks from HandUp here, and, you know, you're mentioning some people that have been on my radar to talk to. So Tummel is an accelerator, right? And so you bring people into a space, you have a curriculum, you have mentors, you have some seed funding available. Is that right or not?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, we think about all different types of companies, all different types of industry verticals. But if these are companies that are solving core urban problems, and that are facing those challenges that I kind of talked about earlier, like, you know, trouble raising money at the early stage, maybe a complicated regulatory or political landscape to deal with, you know, we want to be there to be helpful. You know, we really like to work with companies when they're really new. Like at Tummel, we're looking for entrepreneurs with ideas who want to turn it into a business. So like hand up, when they came to us, they didn't even have a prototype. So we funded them to help them get through that process. You know, that isn't really a stage when outside investors are likely to come in and provide a great deal of capital. And we're really proud and happy to be there as a resource for entrepreneurs who really have a great idea and, you know, want to build out a proof of concept, say, and be able to show the world that their idea really has legs.
Yeah. And when people join the accelerator, they come in a cohort. Is that right?
Yeah. So we sort of have them apply in batches online. And, you know, 2/3 of our applicant pool comes from outside of the Bay Area, even though we are based here in San Francisco. And so we try to look, you know, far and wide to find the best ideas. You know, from our perspective, we don't care where a company is based. We just want to see that idea is scalable. It could work in many cities, from Richmond, Virginia to Chicago to San Francisco to San Antonio. We want to see the kind of business that you know, could have addressed the challenges that really are plaguing communities across the United States.
It's a 10-week, 12-week program. How long is it?
It's usually about three and a half months, where we work pretty intensively with the entrepreneurs and connect them, you know, not only to our internal staff to provide them with support, things like research, deck prep, things like that. But also we have a mentorship board, you know, basically founders, community leaders, all types of technical professionals to help our entrepreneurs succeed, which I think is really helpful.
Yeah. When you're thinking about who's ready or maybe who's too far along, right? So at what stage are they? Are these people with ideas but no prototype, first revenues? I mean, what are you looking for? What stage should they be at? Where should they be on their journey?
At Tummel, we like to see really early stage entrepreneurs. Ideally, they have something, you know, customer interviews, a basic prototype, something out there, but they can be really early and we're happy to take a risk on those entrepreneurs. That's what we see our role as being, is sort of collecting these entrepreneurs who have, you know, a lot of promise and helping them get to the next level. But ideally, you know, they've done something. It can't just be an idea on a piece of paper. And that's really what we see the role of an organization like Tummel being.
Yeah. And so you're looking for them to have some customer interviews, some customer insights. So they've targeted a segment of the population. They have identified a problem. They're looking at the pains and the gains and the jobs to be done. So they have a theory. And then have they usually built a prototype, haven't built a prototype?
Usually they've got some form of prototype. Obviously HandUp didn't, but, we like to see something out there. You know, we'd rather see an entrepreneur with two, you know, baby pilots that they did where they made $1,000. But you know, they have great, customer feedback and, you know, were able to prove that their business idea really worked, as opposed to, you know, a business that can talk about all of the, you know, millions of customers that they will get if only they had money. You know, we want to see industrious entrepreneurs who are making the best out of the resources that they have at hand. And then, of course, we want to be able to augment that by providing capital and space and support to those entrepreneurs to kind of get to the next level.
What do you screen out? Who would not be a good candidate for Tummel?
We look for entrepreneurs that are solving problems that have maybe been identified by mayor's offices across the country as real priorities, but that they haven't necessarily been able to solve on their own. So if you go to the Tummel website, you can see what we call the wheel, which basically outlines, I think it's 10 issue areas where we see a lot of focus right now, whether it's housing and workforce development, transportation, things like that. You know, we try to be in tune with the larger national conversation about real challenges. I mean, a lot of cities like to describe themselves and think of themselves as snowflakes. You know, our people are unique. They're, you know, our problems are special. But, you know, you hear about cities across the country dealing with things like homelessness, challenges with workforce development, challenges with traffic. So we're interested in really focusing on those types of entrepreneurs.
Okay, so 3-4 years into this thing, you saw that there was something else needed, and that's why you started the Urban Innovation Fund. So is this all about that sort of seed capital, sort of the high-risk capital? Is that what you're trying to do here?
I mean, definitely, you know, we still see this as a high-risk and hopefully high-reward proposition. We recognize that, you know, once you've built out a prototype and, you know, once you've proven out your business, Tumble isn't really structured to help you beyond that. Tumble is really just to help you get off the ground. But these entrepreneurs oftentimes, although not always, some bootstrap, some get grants, some do all kinds of things. Many of these entrepreneurs will want to go on and raise investment capital. And we would like to play a role in that, oftentimes because we see it's still really hard for a lot of these entrepreneurs, especially as venture capital moves farther up the capital stack. You know, it's just, you know, every year you see investors moving farther and farther up, like the threshold for a Series A, for example, just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we want to be there as a, you know, continued support. And the nice thing about the Urban Innovation Fund is the fund is really structured to do two things. It's a venture capital firm that identifies early stage innovators solving critical challenges in cities, and we provide them with both capital but also regulatory expertise to scale and hopefully become tomorrow's most valued company. So we really focus on helping these entrepreneurs who, you know, couldn't possibly afford the appropriate government affairs guidance to really navigate the space. They're not an Uber with deep pockets. We want to be able to help these companies come up with thoughtful strategies early on to stay out of trouble and also think about creative ways to partner productively with cities to, you know, solve really important problems but also grow their business.
Is the Innovation Fund, are you looking to fund only Tumble graduates, or are you looking for others in that space?
By no means are we exclusively focused on Tumble. We have invested in a Tumble company, Valor Water Analytics, which we're really excited about. But we are looking far and wide. We want to be inclusive when we think about our investments out of the Urban Innovation Fund. We're looking for the best, most scalable ideas wherever they come from, and we want to be there to provide them with the capital and regulatory expertise to succeed.
Yeah. So the mentors, you know, we've mentioned them, we've sort of touched on that, and you've mentioned regulatory quite a bit. So it's a particular kind of mentor that you're utilizing here, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, like for Tumble, you know, we'll bring in the chief technology officer of Lyft, who will say, you know, how do you scale your back end from one city to five cities? And, you know, how do you communicate with the rest of your team, you know, the potential and figure out what the potential regulatory implications of that are. You know, like they're very specific entrepreneurs that have done it before and are capable of really providing specialized expertise to those entrepreneurs. And similarly for the Urban Innovation Fund, we've created what we call our Business Advisory Council. And, you know, this is a group of entrepreneurs, government affairs experts, technologists, urban leaders, and they're there to provide guidance both to Julie and myself as we think about building this portfolio, but also to our portfolio companies directly. So like the co-founder and chief impact officer of Revolution Foods, Kirsten Tobey, is on the advisory board and she's there. And then we're so glad that she is. But also we've got folks from, you know, the legal and regulatory space, like the founder of one of the largest government affairs firms in California that represents firms like Uber and Airbnb and Alt School. He's there to provide our companies with guidance as they think about their strategy for scale. So we're trying to be really thoughtful about the leaders that we pull together who really, you know, aren't just going to be a name on a list, but folks that are really, really accessible to us and our companies, and make sure that they're being thoughtful about the ways that they look to support and address community challenges.
I'm going to sound completely ignorant in this space because I am. But is there like a national association of mayors or something like that first of all, is there? And if so, are you tapping into those kinds of organizations?
Sure. I mean, we spend a lot of time speaking at conferences and on university campuses and to organizations that are thinking about these issues. And there are a number of organizations that specifically try to bring together and share best practices between municipal leaders, folks who work in city and county government, state government. And we definitely try to engage with all of them. I think the challenge is that oftentimes we'll talk to, you know, a city leader and he or she will say, you know, oh, you know, we have this data set, we released it, you know, why hasn't an entrepreneur just picked it up and started a company around it? Yeah. And there's a certain challenge to sort of saying, you know, our goal isn't to come up with the idea, it's to find entrepreneurs that are already, you know, feeling the pain themselves and starting a company. And, you know, we want to solve it, but we feel it's challenging to be too prescriptive to say, like, here's the data set, here are the three cities that you should start with, and here's the problem and how you should solve it. So it's a balancing act. You want to be able to, we like to be the ones who sort of find those diamonds in the rough and hopefully connect them to the right cities where we know there are particular pain points. But, you know, it is a balancing act.
One question that occurred to me a while ago, I didn't ask it, is this. It's how many people go through each batch and then how many people apply for each batch? So what's the number like?
Sure. So we have a less than 5%, I want to say almost 4% acceptance rate. It's very competitive. We receive applicants from all over the place. We have worked with 33 companies over the last 3 years, and our cohorts range in size anywhere between 5 and 10. It really kind of depends upon our focus. So right now we're actually interviewing entrepreneurs for a batch that will start in the fall. And this is through a partnership that we've entered into with the 11th Hour Project, which is part of the Schmidt Family Foundation. They're really committed to clean energy. So we're looking for entrepreneurs that are solving clean energy-related problems in cities. And that got a lot of applicants. It took us a long time to parse through. But, you know, we'll probably pick 4 or 5 out of a batch of, I think, 150 or so. So, you know, we try to be really diligent. We read every application that we get. I mean, Julia and I do ourselves. And we go through numerous rounds of review and interviews before we pick the finalists. And, you know, it stinks because there are always awesome companies that we have to say no to. And frankly, most of our interactions with entrepreneurs are saying no. And that's, you know, not the nicest feeling to have all the time. But we are always really excited about the companies that we do end up picking.
If you were giving advice to an entrepreneur who wanted to be fully prepared and to be, you know, like ready to be accepted into your accelerator or any accelerator, but let's just stick with yours, what advice would you give them?
I mean, the first thing is find a great co-founder. And this is also just from my own personal experience. I'm so lucky to have Julie as my co-founder now in multiple endeavors. It is so important to have someone who you trust. And, you know, so often you hear about this sort of ideal co-founder, which is like you take a business person and you take a technical person and you bring them together and the perfect partnership is born. For us, it's less important to see the complementary skill sets, although obviously that is great. It's much more about seeing a team that has had experience working together and iterating and, you know, didn't just come together last week at a hackathon. We want to know that you've spent a lot of time together and can weather the ups and downs that are inevitable when you start a company. So we always tell entrepreneurs, even if they are sole founders, and, you know, we've taken sole founders before, but, you know, it's always better to not have to do it alone, if that makes sense.
Yeah. When it comes to characteristics you're looking for in the founders, I heard somebody say the other day, bet on the jockey, not on the horse. Bet on the jockey, not on the horse. So they were saying basically, you know, it's a company and the idea is interesting, but I'm really looking at the team and I'm looking for certain kinds of characteristics in those co-founders. So first of all, do you think that's a generally good piece of advice? And second of all, when you do look at co-founders, what kind of characteristics are you looking for?
I would say it's not an either or proposition. You need an amazing team, but you also need a great idea. And I read a really interesting article recently that talked about, you know, in light of the very high profile implosions of some senior leadership at a bunch of, you know, well-known tech startups, whether our lionizing of founders is appropriate and whether we should be thinking more about, you know, the overall team that's been assembled and the fact that, you know, it shouldn't just be all on one or two people. And that really resonated with me. I think there's something to be said for, you know, making sure the whole team is balanced and the idea has legs as well. But certainly, yeah, you need a great leader to get off the ground. That certainly is important.
Yeah, leaders.
Yeah.
So if people are looking for Tummel or for the Urban Innovation Fund online, where would they look?
You can go to tummel.org or the urbaninnovationfund.com, and you can find us there. We're pretty accessible on social media too.
Good. And a call to action. People have been hanging out with you and with me for like half an hour or so. What's one thing you would love to have them go and do as a result of having heard this conversation?
I mean, selfishly, we want to see more folks starting companies in the urban space. The whole reason we got into Tummel and the Urban Innovation Fund is because we love these types of startups, and we think there's real opportunity, particularly to solve those unsexy problems that everybody experiences on a day-to-day basis. And so we want people to start thinking of themselves as entrepreneurs and capable of addressing these problems themselves.
Very good. Well, Clara, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. If you like the show notes for today, head over to tonyloyd.com/109. That's tonyloyd.com/109. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us again. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.